first visit with the late David Kirk, and we've many priceless memories of being in this place. So we look forward to hearing the shepherd's voice, and we trust the Lord will give us a special visitation in these days together. When I was leaving, a young lad said to me, "Where are you going, sir?" I said, "I'm going to Chicago." Well, he said, "If you see Michael Jordan get his autograph." Well, I said, "I'm not going to be speaking of seeing Michael Jordan, but I'm going to be speaking on the River Jordan." So shall we turn, please, to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 3. And reading verse 1. "And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the hosts, and they commanded the people, saying, When ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it." Now please, down the chapter to verse 9. "And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, Come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from you, from before you, the Canaanites and the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark went over unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for the Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest. Then the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zaretan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed, and they were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jordan. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on the dry ground, and all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Chapter 4, And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take ye 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. And Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every man a tribe. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever." The Lord again will bless to us these readings from his precious word. I'd like to review with you tonight, first of all, the movement of God's people. And secondly, the memorial to God's power. And thirdly, the message for posterity. The movement, the memorial, and the message. Tremendous moment for the nation of Israel after hundreds of years of promise about to enter into the land of Canaan, their inheritance. Particularly, this must have been a very emotional moment for Joshua and Caleb, the only two men that left the land of Egypt and were about to cross over into the land that flowed with milk and honey. They had seen many miracles during their 40 years in the wilderness. You remember there was a miracle of the Red Sea, sheltered under blood, the Paschal Lamb, and they crossed the Red Sea, and they sang, "The Lord had triumphed gloriously, the horse and his rider hath he cast into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and has become my salvation. Pharaoh and his host destroyed in the Red Sea." Yes, that was a great miracle. And they were sheltered under the blood of the Paschal Lamb. And then they went to Marah. And the waters of Marah were bitter. And they began to murmur against Moses. But again, God had a miracle in mind for the nation of Israel. And they were instructed to take a tree and cast it into the bitter waters of Marah. And the bitter waters of Marah became sweet when that tree was applied. The answer to the problem in Egypt was the Paschal Lamb. And that is a projection toward him who is the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus. And the bitter waters of Marah became sweet when that tree was applied. And beloved, again, the answer to the bitter experiences of life is the tree and the man that hung on that tree, the Lord Jesus. The old rugged cross makes a difference. And then there was the manna, rain from heaven, feeding the hungry people. Again, a picture of the Lord Jesus. "I am the true bread which came down from heaven." And so again, a miracle. And it was very interesting to observe also that Joshua and Caleb wore the same pair of shoes for 40 years. That had to be another miracle. No Walmarts or Kmarts on their own. God saw to it that their shoes lasted for 40 years. And now they're about to go into the land, but there's one other great obstacle, and that is the River Jordan. That flowed its banks, and it was turbulent waters, and this was a great obstacle to the nation. But again, the Lord had the answer. Just as in the Paschal Lamb, in the bitter waters of Marah that became sweet, the heavenly manna picturing the Lord Jesus as the true bread which came down from heaven. He had in mind another vessel called the Ark of the Covenant. That was going to be the answer to the big problem, the crossing of the River Jordan. But notice what Joshua said. He said to the people, "When ye see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it." This was the demand by Joshua to leave their place and follow the Ark of the Covenant. The first question ever asked in the Old Testament was, "Adam, where art thou?" The first question in the New Testament was, "Where is he?" Our place was in Adam. In Adam all die. But the answer to the problem of the River Jordan, again, was the Ark of the Covenant, the Lord Jesus. Where is he? We must leave our place in order to enjoy the inheritance above. we must follow the Lord Jesus, the Ark of the Covenant. What was our place? Our place, my friend, is a place of distance. Paul said, ye were afar off. Just like Mephibosheth down in Lodibar, away from the palace of the king, a place of distance. Just like the prodigal, away in the far country in his sin, afar off, a place of distance. But also, our place was a place of darkness. Darkness. And that's why the Ark of the Covenant, the Lord Jesus, the Antitype, came to give light to those that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Darkness. Men love darkness rather than light, for their deeds are evil. A place of darkness. Our place, not only a place of distance and a place of darkness, but it was a place of degradation. There's none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. We are all as an unclean thing. A place of degradation. But also, our place was a place of desperation. Job says, man's days are swifter than the weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. Paul says, ye were without hope. Absolute desperation. We thank God tonight that if we leave our place and follow the ark, then there is hope. And that hope is in the Lord Jesus. He is the answer to every problem. Hope. Just listening the other day to the Archbishop at the memorial service in Oklahoma City, reading from what version I do not know. But he was finishing the Psalm 23. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for several years. Thank God for the good old King James Version. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My mind went right back to Spanish Wells in the Bahamas. An old lady next to the chapel there, godly old sister, but her mind was completely gone. Didn't know where she was, didn't know her friends, relatives, nothing. So, I went to visit her one day and I began to quote Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And she came in verse by verse. Never made a mistake. I thought I would trick her. And I said, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for a week. She says, a week? Forever. She almost jumped out of bed after me. Yes, there is a hope. And that hope is the Lord Jesus. Looking for that blessed hope in the appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. A place of distance. A place of darkness. A place of degradation. A place of desperation. But we know also that our place was a place of death. Again, the Lord Jesus came to give light to those that sit in darkness and in the shadow, and guide our feet into the way of peace, the shadow of death. Death. And also, our place ultimately would be a place of destruction unless we leave our place and follow the ark and follow the Lord Jesus. Happy are those who can see, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back. No turning back. The Lord Jesus met the fishermen from Galilee. And he said to them, you leave your place and follow me. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they gladly left their fishing business, their boats and their nets, and they followed the Lord Jesus. Following Jesus every day by day. Nothing can harm us when He leads the way. Darkness or sunshine, whatever you fall, Jesus the Shepherd is my all in all. So He says to them, leave your place and follow the ark, the movement of God's people. Then we read the moment that the Ark of the Covenant went into those waters of Jordan, there was a great work done to the satisfaction of God. The River Jordan has been depicted by one in this language. It illustrates the stream of time from birth to death. The writer suggests that the River Jordan, of course, has its beginning, its origin, its birth, if you will, in the mountains of the Lebanon. It laughs its merry morning away on the flowery fields of the Hule. It plunges forth with the recklessness of youth into the tangled brakes and muddy marshes of Merom. And from thence full grown, like earnest manhood, with its noisy and bustling activities, it enters like sober noonday in the placid lake of Gennesaret. And then it leaves the lake, and in spite of windings and doublings innumerable, it enters most reluctantly the sea of death, where there's an inlet, but no outlet. Birth, childhood, youth, old age. Truly, that is a great obstacle. But the Lord Jesus, again, is the answer. There was waters from above. When we consider what the Lord Jesus Christ did at the place called Calvary, He didn't have to die, but He volunteered to die to go into those waters of death, the Jordan, in order that you and I might live forever. We discover here that the River Jordan, it flowed all its banks. You see, beloved friends, there was a raging storm from above when the Lord Jesus went into the waters of death. The raging storm from above. And there was the Roman soldiers around Him. And the repugnant Sanhedrin screaming for His execution. And underneath, the roaring Satan. Up, around, and underneath, the Lord Jesus became the target. The waters were raging. Sin must be judged, either in the perpetrator or in the one who became the substitute. And the waters were raging, they came from above. Now, Savior Christ, save me. The waters are coming unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. The floods overflow me. God had to deal with our sin, and the Lord Jesus Christ paid that price. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. The first reference, I believe, to the cross is found in Genesis 1 verse 9. But God says, let the waters be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. All the waters of judgment were brought to one place, and placed upon one man, the Lord Jesus. The waters were raging from above. Oh, the tremendous isolation and experience that was new to Him. He enjoyed unbroken fellowship for eternal years, about to be separated for a season because the judgment must be made against our sin. And the Lord Jesus again was the target for that judgment. God says, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man who is my equal." And the sword of justice was plunged into the heart of the Lord Jesus, in order that you and I might go free. Waters from above. We have a picture of this, don't we, in the book of Leviticus chapter 16, which was a projection of the isolation and the roaring waters of judgment in the scapegoat. On the great day of atonement, the priest took two goats. One was slaughtered and blood sprinkled 7 times before and 7 times on the mercy seat. The other live goat was taken, and all the sins, and all the iniquities, and all the transgressions of the nation were put on that little goat. Beloved, all our sins were laid upon him. Jesus bore them on the tree. God, who knew them, laid them on him. Unbelieving, we go free. That goat was sent out into the land of desolation and left there. I had a friend in Scotland, and a great poet, and he wrote the poem that I love dearly, Azazel or Azazel, depicting the judgment of the waters. There is a land, a solitary land, a land from every other land afar. No sun did ever kiss its gloomy strand, nor dawn, nor day, nor moon, nor morning star. Land of the useless tear and useless sigh, where skies are dead, and every stream run dry. No songbird ever rose to greet the ear, no flower did ever bloom to bless the eye. Unutterable desolation reigned despotic o'er the kingdoms of despair. No change is known, no seasons wax nor wane, still hopelessness and stagnant in the air. I saw a goat with heavy head hung low, with sunken eyes, well-worn travel feet in that sand land, a living woe. I hear his hoarse, lamentable, piteous bleat. It pierced the moral universe above, upon eternal shore the echo breaks. That loud, that lone, lamentable cry, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. The waters from above. And then there was the Roman soldiers. They made comedy out of tragedy when he went into those waters. He says he's a king. Let's put on him the royal apparel. And in mockery, they threw on that majestic body an old jacket. He says he's a king. He must have the crown. And onto that head of the most fine gold, they place that crown of thorns. He says he's a king. Let's give him the scepter. And into those hands that held and uphold the universe, the one who measures the waters in the hollow of his hand, who comprehends the dust of the earth in a measure, who weighs the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance, he placed into that hand a Roman reed. He says he's a king. Let's anoint him. And they spat in his face. Waters came down from above in the Jordan. And there were the waters around him. What shall we say, and I can't find a more appropriate word, the repugnant Sanhedrin. They failed to listen to the message of John the Baptist, O generation of vipers, warning them to flee from the wrath to come. They ignored the message of the greatest preacher that ever lived apart from the Lord Jesus. And here, at the end of his life, they're screaming for his execution. Away with him, away with him. We'll not have this man to reign over us. And they were so sanctimonious, these religious hypocrites, they wouldn't go into the judgment hall because it was the time of the feast. And the waters were raging. And they got the people into motion, and the scripture says, and they all said, when Pilate brought out the Lord Jesus and Barabbas, whom shall we release unto you, this man or Barabbas? Not this man, but Barabbas. And the Bible says, they all said, the waters were raging. They would rather have a robber than the Redeemer. They would rather have a murderer than the Messiah. They would rather have a man that took life than the man that could give life. The waters were raging. And then there was a water from beneath, roaring Satan, and he cried, save me from the lion's mouth and from the horn of the unicorn. Above, around, and underneath, the waters were raging. Satan, remember, the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent, and he would in turn bruise his heel. And so heaven, earth, and hell were marshaled against that lone combatant as he went into those waters of death. But there came a time when he cried, and God heard his cry. We read that when the Ark of the Covenant went into those waters, that the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan. Now, beloved Savior cried, it is finished. There was rest for God. The Lord cried in the midst of the waters, save me, the waters are coming into my soul. And God answered, thou shalt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou see the Holy One to see corruption. And the prayer was answered, and God rested in the work of his Son. God said, thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellow. God rested in the finished work of the Lord Jesus. Zephaniah 3:16 says, the God who is in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rest in his love. God can do no more for fallen humanity than what he did in sending his beloved Son to bear the judgment due to our sin. Rest for God. When we leave our place and identify ourselves with him, when we follow Jesus, there's rest for you and for me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, and yet thou shalt find rest for your soul. So there was rest for God, and there was rest for you and me. And there was rest for the people of Israel, because we read here that they all pass over on dry ground to the other side. So productive was the movement of the ark in those waters that they went back as far as the city Adam. So the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus is all embracing. Goes right back as far as Adam, and to all those in the Old Testament who look forward to the cross as we look back and put their trust in the Lord Jesus. I believe the first Christ rejecter was Cain. Woe to them who have gone in the way of Cain, ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Right back as far as the city Adam. Notice, it says, and the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed over clean over Jordan. The river Jordan, speaking again to us of the stream of time, is a big obstacle. But the Lord Jesus Christ has overcome that obstacle. He says, I'm he that liveth and became then. And behold, I'm alive forevermore, and have the keys of death and of hell. You see, beloved, it was essential for him to come to the scene to be born of the virgin. For as much as the children were partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. That through death, Jordan, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject upon death. So you and I who are in God's family, we won't have to cross Jordan alone. The Lord Jesus Christ is the forerunner, and the anchor is already dropped down in the heavenly inheritance, ready to bring us home. And oh, how precious that they all passed over, clean over Jordan. Because the Lord Jesus triumphed over death. Paul writes to the saints at Corinth and says that we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That's the certainty of it, because the Lord triumphed over death, we shall be changed. And beloved, if you are honest with ourselves, we need to be changed. That is the certainty of it. But here is the entirety of it. We shall all be changed. And the finality at the last trumpet. Now we hear people talk about a partial rapture. Not one Israelite was left on the other side. They all passed through. And when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, the man who triumphed over death, we shall all be changed. And we shall all go home to be forever with the Lord. To enjoy our eternal rest. So when the ark went into those waters, when a work was done, it was a miracle again. And there was rest for God, and there was rest for the people of God. The movement of God's people, as I close, we must leave our place, the old nature, the old place, in Adam all die. Even also in Christ will all be made alive who follow after him. And this memorial to God's power, God raised him from the dead. And I love to think of Paul at Antioch in Pisidia. He goes into the synagogue and they said, speak on. Paul raised his hand and he gave that panoramic review of the nation's history up to the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus when he went into those waters of Jordan. And you almost can see Paul raising his hands through a great crescendo. But God raised him from the dead. Jesus takes the highest station. Oh, what joy. The sight of horns. The will of the Lord will continue to look. What mean ye by these stones? A message for posterity. May it be so, for his name's sake.